Well, hello, I'm Kat.
And I'm Kaylin.
And this is
Nobody's Left Behind.
Yeah. Welcome to, this is now episode
two. Oh, six.
Oh, we're episode six, but this is the second episode of Lucky Girl Era. The Lucky Girl Era. And today we're talking about how to recover from unlucky situations. Just our luck. And we're doing, of course, pits and peaks of this week. You want to start? Should I start?
You start.
Okay. Also, on a side note, hopefully this mic, I got the big boy, the large diaphragm, they call it, but it's like so heavy, bitch. So I'm going to kind of slouch a little bit. But this week, my pit is, again, work has not been terrible. The social thing, like it was last week. But I think, what are some pits? You know, it's good that I can't think of that many pits. But I think my pit is my energy right now. My energy has been really, really low. Like, I struggle to stay up at work. I struggle to have energy for work, bitch. Like, I hate falling asleep at my desk. Granted, I'm not fully released yet at my job. So, granted, you know, there's not as much liability on me. So, my assignment isn't going to be heavy, but it is so hard to stay awake. And so, I'm looking into, you know, some vitamins like B12. Vitamin D, going outside, walking, getting fresh air, being in the sun. Also, another pit of mine is my surgery. It's taking a while to hear back, but I am going next week to weigh in, and I'm a little nervous, like I've talked to you about. But there's that. But my peak. So my peak this week was I sat with my therapist, and I love that queen. I tell her all the time how much she's helped me in like my, even the little work that I've done with her. But I feel like I've been able to be prideful for myself. And I've spoken to you about it. How I was raised, we were raised to be really like soft spoken, even though that's not how I am, bitch. But to just be more humble and not brag about yourself and yada, yada, yada. But I think, you know, from where I started with my motherhood, I feel so good, like getting my kids to school on time and being able to function as mom and as my own unit. And I'm so proud of myself for getting up and doing that on time in the morning. You know, like nobody likes getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning every day. But I do it for my kids. So that's my peak and pit for the week.
That's good.
Thanks, you.
Let me think. I think my peak is... Guys, I got a speeding ticket.
When?
This was like in like a month ago. I got a speeding ticket.
Wait,
like a month
peak?
Ago.
Grace,
no, my peak is I paid it today.
Oh, okay.
Because it takes like 30 days for it to show up, like
in their system.
Online and yeah, in the system. Oh, okay. So you could either like mail in whatever, or you can choose like traffic school or whatever, or you wait the 30 days for it to be online and then you could pay it in full. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So I did that today. So I am not worried about that anymore.
Yes.
So that's my peak.
Go ahead for you, queen. Hold on. Give it a second for this speed racer.
Guys, it was nothing crazy. It was nothing crazy. Okay. It wasn't like going 100 and a 20. Okay.
What were you going?
60 and a 40.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad.
To be fair, it was like coming down like a bridge by where I live, and so I was coming down the bridge. Also, this is one of my unlucky situations. There was a car in the lane right next to me going the same exact speed, but I was in the fast lane.
Oh god. You guys are watching these.
So they pulled me over. I'm just like, what the heck? But that's my
Why
peak
me?
Because I paid it.
Okay, yeah.
You know, literally. No, he was camping. He was camping there for a while. He was staking it out. He was
waiting.
Yeah, he was waiting
to pull somebody over.
And I've seen them there a couple times. The other day I drove by and somebody else got pulled over in the same exact spot. And I was like, I've been in your shoes, brother. I know. I know.
I feel you.
Right. As soon as you come over the bridge, that's when you see him. And by that point, it's too late to slow down. Yeah.
You already went down the hill.
Right. And my pit is also today. Also from today, I mean. I had work today at the big place. Okay. And it was a full day. Yeah. But I had the rudest patient today. So rude. And, you know, usually I, like, when they're like that, I kind of just, like, brush it off. But this was, like, this was a pretty young guy. He wasn't, you know, old. He's not, dying. Yeah. Right. And he was just, he was so rude. Like, the whole entire time, he was on TikTok. Like, volume, full blast, as I'm, like, asking him all his intake questions. And he's like, yeah, no. So rude. And so then I was just like, okay, whatever, like, it's not a big deal. I'm only in there for, like, 10 minutes anyways when I'm, like, with the patients. And the rest of the time it's with the doctor. But I feel so bad. This doctor is the nicest man you will ever meet in your entire life. Like, sweetest man. Mm-hmm. Feel so bad. I don't know if that's how the patient is with him. Mm-hmm. But with us, that's how he was. And so then it was getting closer to 4:15 and he still wasn't out of the room yet. And so then I went to my coworker and I was like, okay, I still have one in. I just need you to check him out when they're done. Mm-hmm. He ended up coming out at like 4:14, like literally right before I clocked out, and he left and I was finishing up some stuff and about to clock out, and my coworker comes up to me and he was like, he's so rude. And I'm like, I know. He was rude. The coworker.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I know, he was rude, huh? But yeah, that was my pit of the week. Of the week. He was very, like,
it's just something you don't come across often.
Right. But also, too, it wasn't just that he was rude. It was that, like, know-it-all energy. That, yeah. Like, feeling of needing to be right all the time or needing to be, you know, one up on the other person, like that ego thing. That's very much the vibe that I was getting from him. And I just don't vibe with that. Like, it's one thing if you're rude. I've dealt with that before. It's cool. I started off in the restaurant business. I've been yelled at, you know? Yeah. Oh my gosh. But it's another if like it's that way. You know what it's I mean? Like, it's an ego thing.
As a person is like,
right, it's just so frustrating sometimes.
I know. If we can just give a big old F you, but, you know, what kind of ethics is that?
Right. It's so hard because it's like, you know, people would be like, this is what you signed up for. This is the job you wanted. And it's like, yes, but also, no, I didn't sign up to be yelled at because someone doesn't feel good. I didn't sign up to be, you know, cussed out because somebody's in pain. I didn't sign up to be hit and kicked and spit on and thrown up on and have poop thrown at my head.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for that. You know what I mean? And it's like people get into places like this or facilities like this and it's like all hell breaks loose. They just start acting like a whole new person. But sorry, I just went on a whole rant there.
Yeah, it's okay.
But that was my pit of the day. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a pit. Some people can really. Guy. And I feel like, you know, we're kind of actively, well, me and you, I kind of feel like we're kind of working on, you know, well, me specifically more than you, but working on letting other people affect you. It's a hard one to do because it can ruin your whole entire day or sometimes your whole entire week. Like, I've been thinking about shit. I've been thinking about, like, a person who cut me off, like, a week ago, 2 weeks ago sometimes. Pisses me the fuck off, you know? I don't know. I'm just sensitive like that. I'm just so fucking neurotic like that. But, you know, it is what it is. It's an unlucky
situation. Driving? Cut you off driving?
Yeah. One time, I think about it often, too. I was going down the street. Like, you know, you go down the street often, too. It's a really busy street. And it happened in, like, 2019. A bitch cut me the fuck off. And then I got in a different lane. And that lane went slow as shit. It went slow as shit. I should have gassed it on that bitch and stayed in my ground. I hate it when cars feel they're so entitled to cut other people off. Like, we were all waiting in this line to get onto this, you know, this entrance onto the freeway. Don't think you're fucking special to cut everybody off. You know, I don't know. I'm just so sensitive like that. But, you know, I'm trying to work on it. But literally sometimes I think when I'm going down that street, I think about that car back in 2019 that cut me off.
I think about the car behind you in the Starbucks drive-thru often.
And then that one really did it for me. Like, that stopped me from going to the gym at 8 o'clock in the morning. Because I will...
I remember you, like, you called me, like, mid-rant.
Oh, my God. I remember that one now. You're the one I called.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that, bitch. But anyway.
I think about that often.
No, and honestly, anything with food is really, like, that. It's either, you know, you're going through it with the people... And you're trying to be considerate of them, or it's the customers, like witnessing someone being so rude. It's a lot, and again, it'll put a down on anybody's mood. But anyway, it's already starting. Unlucky situations, we've all been there. We've all gone through it, and I don't know about you, Queen, but ever since I was a kid, I always remembered, like, I just felt like I was a really unlucky kid, or even our family. Like, we used to have family friends where we would go on vacations with them and whatever. Like, they're my mom's best friends. They would always get the better rooms. Granted, they probably paid for it, but it was just, like, I always felt like I was unlucky, or, like, unlucky situations would happen to me. And it would make... my life at living hell. Like, you would really think your life is a living hell just because of unlucky situations that happen to you. And it sucks. It really does. And we have a list of them to go. Not a list. Okay, not a list we're listening to. It's not, like, that bad. But I honestly want to think of some that, like, are, you know, hard-hitting. I'm like, share yours.
I had just gone through my breakup with mm-hmm. my second boyfriend, and it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was driving home, and I thought I hit something. There was like a really big like bump. I thought I hit something, but I didn't hit anything, but I thought I did because it was a really big bump. And I was driving home, and my car is like moving kind of funny, but I don't think anything of it because I'm just a girl. I don't know anything about cars. I wake up the next morning. My rim is on the ground. There is no tire. And my mom was like, when you were driving home last night, like, you didn't feel that? Like, when you were driving, you didn't feel that you're...
there's no tire?
No tire. It was, like, shredded.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, you didn't feel that? And I was like... no. And she was like, you had to have felt something because there are rim marks coming up the driveway, like the whole length of the driveway where I backed in. There's a trail from where my tire should have been, but it's from my rim. And she's like, so then I go, we tow it to a tire shop, and there's the tire is still on there. It's just so flat and kind of shredded in certain places. And so then they're like, we're talking about the tire or whatever, and as we're talking about the tire, they're working on taking my what's left of my tire off my car, and they bring it over and they're like, oh, you ran over this. And it was a wrench. Well, like half of a wrench, like the handle.
I don't get it. Was the wrench standing up? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. But so then they were like, oh, this is like what. And it was, like, thick. It was, like, you know, like, this thick. It was really thick. And so then they were, like, this is what you ran over. Like, this is what popped your tire. And I was, like, oh, all right, cool. And so they took the tire back. And then they were working on getting the tire. Like, you know, they get take the tire off the rim, put the new tire on the rim. And then they were checking to see if my rim was damaged because I had driven halfway home on it. And they came back out. And they were, like, oh, also this. And it was the other half of the wrench. You know, those, like, the ones that you can, like, put any type of head on, mm-hmm, and it goes, like, mm-hmm, one way, yeah, and then yeah, it's, yeah, like, quiet, and then, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was one of those, and it was, I like, half of it was in one part of my tire, and the other half was in another part of my tire, and I had a nail in my tire on top of the wrench. Oh my God. And my mom... My mom looked at that wrench and she was like, there's no way you drove all the way home and did not know. I thought it was a bumpy ride.
And I remember when you and Mackenzie were like, what's going on? Like, what's that feeling? And that bitch was driving on rim. For like God knows how long.
No, I woke up and I was like, it's loud. It's so loud.
What's going on? What's that noise, bitch?
And she was like, oh, I don't know. And then I was like, I think it's your tire. And then, just then the fact
she kept driving. Like, she was scared. Just ignore it. Put the music louder.
But it's hard, you know, like, when you've never had an experience like that. Like, a flat tire is one thing. But to have you know, something happen to your tire to where you're driving on the rim, it's not like an experience that you could have just normally. So you just, literally, or I didn't, and I'm sure Mackenzie didn't, like, I don't know what that is. I'm just going to keep going. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get out and investigate.
But if it woke you up, if it woke you up, I'd be like,
it was bumpy. That's what woke me up. And then when I woke up, I was like, oh, it's loud. But then, you know, some cars are just loud. They are. Yeah, so it's like I couldn't tell if it was probably. Like the freeway had a weird type of is paving.
Is it the floor of the freeway or is it my car? Yeah. Which way? Remember when we were driving? It was our friend Angel's birthday party. We drove out like far, and Ari was like, "Girl, is it me? Is it my car or is it just the road singing?" Like, you know when you drive and it's like, what's that? I can't even mock the noise. I don't think about it. It's just like, because I don't know why it does that, but it's like, is it my car or is the road just singing?
Yeah.
But we're just girls. We're just girls literally living in this world. This one is a little, I will share this one because this one is probably, it's what happened the most recently and it's a really impactful one, I feel like. It wasn't funny in the moment by any means. You were there. You knew. I mean, you weren't there, but you were the first person I told. But basically, I will share, as I've mentioned before, I was really like the one to be, I don't want to say crazy baby mama, but I have done really irrational things with the father of my children. Okay? I'm not going to talk about the situation specifically, but basically, I aired our dirty laundry, and I did not just only include her. I included his family and, you know, her family. It was really, really messy. And that happened maybe at night or over the course of like 2 days, something like that. And then I was like, finally, wiping my hands clean of that situation, wiping my hands clean of him forever, her forever. I'm done and over this shit. And really, I didn't do it to still talk to him. You know, I did it to really cut off what was going on between us. And I was like, cool, I'm chilling, I'm done. And this happened at nighttime where really it was like it was going off, like the conversations between people were really popping off. I was like, you know what, let me go to the gym, let me like sweat it out, whatever. I go to the gym and my car's fine. It's not the car that I have now, it's the Lexus that I had for like a second. And well, I said like maybe like 2 years. And then I park, I work out, watching a movie while I'm working out. I get back into my car. That bitch didn't start. I was like, hold on, this has happened before. Let me just do it a couple of times. But it's push to start. So I kind of feel like push to start, you really don't know what's happening because you can't gauge. Because you can't, if you stick your key in your car, at least you can like, okay, it's not starting. Maybe it's the battery. Maybe it's just the engine. I don't know. But like when it's push to start, you really don't know what's happening. Wasn't turning on. Called my dad. And mind you, this is already 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And actually, sorry to rewind, but before that, I wanted to really like get a hold of you, our friends. Bitch, I couldn't get a hold of anybody because all of our friends work the same shift at night. Like, so I couldn't tell anybody. That's what forced me to go into the gym and just sweat it out and just let it out, you know. And then I get back into my car, wasn't starting. My dad's like, call AAA. So I call AAA, and it's already 11:30. They hit me with, oh, we're going to see in 20 minutes. And then 20 minutes turned to an hour. And then an hour turned into like 3 o'clock in the morning. And luckily, our friend Arlene, she came through to give me company. And luckily, like there are neighboring, I could have gone back into the gym to go pee. I could have went to the restaurant nearby. It was fine because I was in a good area. well, not the best area, but there's just still things around me and people. But that happened. And then, bitch, the day after, I'm talking to Kaylin. Kaylin was taking the first seat to this ride, okay? I'm washing. My little sister comes over to wash her laundry. She's washing, and then all of a sudden, there's water. Like, so when you go into my garage, there's, like, obviously there's a wall. But in front of that wall, it's my, like, our computer. And then into the garage, it's the washing machine. So it's really, like, just that wall dividing the two spaces. Water was coming from there. And I was like, what the f***? And it stopped. I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. Whatever. It's just the washer machine. I called my dad. He's like, oh, maybe it's just the plumbing. He's like, maybe if we just don't use the washer. But then I step over to my room, pass by our bathroom. That bitch was flooding. That bitch was flooding out of the toilet. Like, not the toilet, but, like, the ground. So I was like, oh, I've never seen this in my life. And I was like, oh, my God, my house is flooding. Like, the fact that I aired the laundry of my baby daddy, like, after this emotional draining thing. And also, mind you, my mom passed away, like, just a couple months before that. Like, it was not the situation to be in. And then those were the only two things. But the fact that, like, my car battery died, I couldn't reach my friends. And then literally not even, like, a week, like, a couple days later, it was a day, not even a day, a couple hours after, my bathroom flooded. Like, give me a break, Lord. Jesus, like, give me a break.
And how ironic is it that you, quote unquote, aired out his dirty laundry and it was your washer that started the flood? Of all the things.
You got me there, bitch. You got me there, literally. I aired out the laundry and then my fucking, our washing machine flooded because it couldn't handle the dirty laundry, you know? It couldn't. But no, that was a big one. But in the moment, it was the last thing. It was not funny. There was no laughs that were coming out from that situation. I'm lucky that I can laugh about it now, but that shit was unlucky to me. It was not it.
It wasn't. I feel like a lot of your unlucky situations, they happen back to back to back, like a domino effect.
Yeah. It's not just like, it comes in like numbers. It comes in, I don't want to say threes because it's not threes. It just comes in, it doesn't come alone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen one at a time.
Mine are always one at a time.
Oh, that's nice for you.
Yeah.
Oh, for you. Whatever.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was a bad one. It was. I remember you call me. And now that's the analogy we always use now.
Yeah, my house
when we're
is
feeling like overwhelmed or like things are going bad, we'll always be like, our house is flooding.
Yeah, literally. I tell that to Kim all the time. All the time. Anyways, what's your other situation, your unlucky situation?
Not one time, it happened quite a few times, but nobody would believe me when it did happen. I used to have a Scion XD, rounded boxy car. Kind of looks like a Kia Soul, but like smaller. It's like the XB, but the XB is like box with sharp corners. The XD is like more rounded.
Okay.
So I used to have that car.
Okay.
I can't remember what exactly it was that was wrong with it. It was something with like in the front, like under the hood, there was something wrong with it there. But for a really long time, we couldn't pinpoint what the problem was. But I was getting locked out of my car. I could not get in my car. And then once I got in my car, I couldn't start my car. And so there was one time I was at the mall and I was able to get out and I was able to lock it. And when I was done at the mall and getting ready to leave, I come back, car won't open. And it wasn't that the key was dead. It was something that was under the hood. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know the terminology. But we fixed something under the hood and then it got fixed. So that's all I know. But I couldn't get my car open. And my mom and her boyfriend and his family, actually not so much his family, just them two. They're notorious for not answering their phones. My mom always has her phone on silent and her boyfriend always leaves his phone at home. So if they go out somewhere, he doesn't have his phone, and my mom's phone is on silent. And so during this time, I was like calling him because I was like stranded at the mall and nobody answered. So I'm like, what the heck? So I'm like, okay, let me just try again. I'm like hitting, like banging my key against my hand to try and get it to work. I finally get it to open the car, like to unlock the car. And I go to put my key in. I didn't have a push to start. This was like a, you put the key in the slot. So I put the key in the slot and I go to turn it on. Nothing. My car won't start. And so I'm like, what the heck, man? So I'm calling my mom again. No answer. I call her boyfriend. No answer. I call her boyfriend's dad. No answer. Damn. And they were all together. And so then I call my uncle, my other uncle. And I'm like, nobody's answering me. I don't know what to do. And then he comes and he's just as flabbergasted. He has no idea what the problem is. He's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. And so they sat there for 2 hours. Until I tried again, and then my car started.
Oh, that's, and it drove?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
It was just, yeah, I don't know what it was, because it would drive. Like, when it worked, it would drive, and it was fine. But there would just be times where, like, it wouldn't start, mm-hmm. and it wasn't like, you know how a car sounds when it's, like, trying to start?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't even do that. It was like... Oh. It was the battery. It was the car battery because we replaced the battery.
Okay.
Of the car.
But thank the Lord it started.
I know.
Like randomly it just started. Like you didn't need to.
And then the next day I was driving home from my ex's house and I'm like driving it. All of a sudden the car's like this. Like jerking back and forth. And then it stops in the middle of the road and it won't go. Yeah, that was a crazy experience. Call my mom crying. I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's a scary situation.
Yeah, had to push my car to the curb. And funny enough, where my car died was right outside my first boyfriend's house.
And were you by yourself?
Mm-hmm. And I was driving home from my second boyfriend's house.
Did you... Okay, queen.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. No, that is. That's something. No. That's what a coincidence. Well, not really, but.
I don't know what that would be called.
Yeah. No. But I mean, like, how would you describe that car? It could be mean.
Well, I named my cars, and that car was Bertha.
Oh. You see, sometimes, like, my first car, I'm not gonna lie to you, that thing was tinfoil on wheels, okay? It was a piece of trash. And if you're rolling up your car that is a piece of trash in front of your ex's house...
You know what, though? I liked that car. But you know what? My first ex couldn't talk. Anything. Can't say anything about my car. Doesn't matter what kind of car it was because he didn't have a car. So he can't be saying anything about my car. Yeah, I wasn't embarrassed about that.
Man.
No, but we loved Bertha. We loved Bertha. Okay, and honestly, like, it looked small, but it was pretty, I think, pretty spacious on the inside. And that was what we took for all of our, like, snowboarding trips and everything. And so it handled really well. Like, when it did work, it drove really well. And
no,
I drove that until,
I love,
like...
No, Scions are good. Like, I had my first car ever was the Prius one. Like, I don't know, it's a Scion, but not in... Yours is, like, the cube car. Mine was, like, the Prius shape. Yeah, I don't know if you know
is
what
that the
about.
The one that could be, like, two-door or four-door? I think Cam had that one.
Yeah.
Cam had that one.
Who?
Cam.
Oh, okay, yeah. I had the four-door, and that one is bigger than... It was bigger than my Lexus. And I had to drive that to clinicals one time because my car was not working, and... Because of the situation, and it's so spacious, it's good on gas. Is it kind of a clown car? Yes, but also it's open back for your trunk, so if you ever need to overload it, you can. Like, that is one. Like, I remember back then when I first started driving, $20 was a full tank, almost a full tank. Like, that was the best car. It would shake randomly, scarily, but like, no, it was the best car ever, honestly.
Yeah.
And also, Queen, I did have a situation in my head, but I totally forgot about it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I totally forgot about it. And you know those things where it's like when you try to remember and it, the harder
goes
you remember,
farther and farther away.
Yeah, it's just like a fading cloud, like drifting away from you. And you're like trying to grab it. And you just, the more you try to reach for it, the more it's like coming loose from your grip. That's how it feels.
Yeah. It'll come back. I know it will. It always does. It is.
But I don't know if it's unlucky, but I will share a story where you heard about it. Like, that one time where I saw my ex's wife or ex-wife, whatever the fuck she is, on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
That was,
and it wasn't really even like, her TikTok.
It wasn't. Like, it was really a scary, not scary, but it was just like, what are the odds that it's on my For You page? She doesn't know this person. She doesn't even, they don't follow each other. Like, it was so random. But basically, I was on TikTok, and it was a video of this boy. He must have been like 13, 14, maybe 14, 15. And his dad bought him a pair of Levi's for the first time. And he, you know, a lot of like the, more of like the G-looking kids, okay? Like, they like wearing the oversized Levi's. And he was wearing Vans and like a white t-shirt. And the dad was like, do you like these jeans? He's like, mm-hmm. They fit well? He's like, mm-hmm. And he was like, you're not going to start gangbanging on me, are you? And he was like, mm-hmm, no. And it was just the funniest TikTok ever. And then I realized, like, this is my thought process, that I could see that he's videotaping his son in a dressing room. It's not in a dressing room, but it's like at, not Hollister, like American Eagle, where like you can step out in the hallway. So it's fine. But I just thought, like, you never know, like, what you can catch with opening a door, or someone can be in a bra. So I watched backwards, because I saw that a girl came out of the room, of a dressing room. I was like, oh, I wonder if she was like, what the fuck is this guy filming for, you know? It was my ex's wife. Like, it was my ex's wife in the background. And I was like, oh, I could not make this shit up. And at first I was like, this might not be her, but she always wears this one bag. And so I was like, that's her. And I like, I replayed it. I saved the video and I zoomed up on her. And I was like, that's, but it was just weird. Like, what are the chances of this bitch being on my For You page? And yeah, I was like, just my luck. And I was already going through it about that situation, and she was on my For You page. I was like, can it stop? And even at work, you know, obviously me and Kayla, we both work in healthcare. I constantly see the same names either out in public or at work. And I'm just like, make it stop. Like, God, what are you trying to do to me? What are you trying to do? I already don't like the person. I'm trying to break up with them. I'm trying to cut it off for good. Stop showing me their names, please, please. But, and it does feel a little targeted, I will say. That's the hard part about coincidences and feeling unlucky, is that it feels targeted because you're already going through it and you're already having a bad day. And then all of a sudden, a constant reminder of either you won your bad luck or the shit person that put you through hell, you know? And it makes you, let me cut that shit right there. That's the only time I'm saying it. That's the only time I'm saying it. Oh, sorry. Literally, can I notice I've been saying that a lot more lately at work, and it drives me nuts, bitch. But yeah, I really feel like it just, we mentioned this in the last episode though, where we can count our problems more than our blessings, and then it becomes a domino effect, because that's the only thing that you're thinking about.
I feel like also the problems are so much more apparent than the blessings.
And it lasts longer, doesn't it? Like, it lasts, it has a long-lasting effect versus something good, which is so sad to say. And that part does get to me, even though I like to think that, you know, I do think in a more positive way now. But for example, like one, I think this was a couple days ago, I think it was last week Friday, I got lattes for me and my boss. And I'm turning around and this lady sees me. She's already like halfway through the entrance, and she sees me turn around with a carrier and my phone in my hands, and she went back outside and opened the door for me. I was like, thank you so much. Have a great Friday. Like, I hope you have a great day. And she's like, oh no, you're so welcome. I was like, ah. But then was I thinking about my situation at work? More? Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
It's hard. I feel like something negative affects your, it has a bigger impact on your mindset than something positive. Unless the positive thing is like some huge
If you gave moment. Me $1 million.
Yeah.
I will never forget that.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, those little things, you have to see them as like blessings in disguise or as like happy moments. But I feel like we all subconsciously choose to just keep acknowledging all the negative things rather than trying to focus on more of the positive. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's a mindset thing.
It's a mind game, and it's where our minds really have a hard time. And, you know, I was thinking about this because I was like, how could I be having a week like this when I have been, what did I do? I actually take a pause and I think about, did I do anything bad? Is this a karma for some reason? Like, did I deserve this? Did I do something to make someone upset? I reanalyze it too much. And then I realize, like, why is my mind slipping? They always say, just think about the positive. Don't think about the negative. But why is my mind slipping into thinking about the negative? Like, why does it slip through the cracks from what it feels like out of control? But we do have the control to make it, to divert ourselves. We do have that control. And we have the control to how we react to it and how our minds handle it, right? But that is one of the biggest struggles, is when you feel like you are going down a rabbit hole when really it was just one thing, maybe three, maybe five through your day. But it doesn't matter. It was just those situations. It was just the situation, not your life. Like, that's one of the things where I feel like I've had to learn how to look at it that way, because if you look at it the other way, really you're gonna think your life is a fucking mess and you're gonna think the world is out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not.
Yeah, it's not. I agree. I also think, like, what helps me a lot is just the burnt toast theory. Have you heard that? No. So, like, let's say you're running late for work and you just want to have a piece of toast really quick for breakfast. So you put the toast in the toaster while you're finishing getting ready, and then you're done and you're about to head out the door, and now your toast is burnt. Now you're late for work. You know what I mean? And so then it's like, oh, my whole day is thrown off now.
Yes,
but then, like, your toast burning and you being late to work helped you miss a massive car accident on the way to work. You know what I mean? Or it helped you miss the rainstorm on the way to work. You know, like, there's a reason why sometimes things don't go as planned or as you would hope that they would go. And I think having that burnt toast theory kind of mindset helps me be like, okay, I'm meant to be where I am right now. Even if that's not in my plan, the things that are happening to me are meant to be happening to me for some other bigger reason.
Yeah. I like that outlook. I really do. Because really it's like, what are your chances? That, first of all, you're just hungry. Okay. You were just hungry with the toast and you had good intentions doing it. But were you late to work because of it? Yes. But like you said, did you miss maybe a car accident? Did you, you know, I really like the outlook, because at the end of the day, what happens in your day, what happens to you in your week, it was meant for it to happen for you for a reason. I used to hate and mope and cry and whine about, like, just why so many negative things were to happen to me, even if it were just small stuff, right? Like, why did three cars cut me off today? Is it just cut me off day? Really, it sucks. But also, it's like, these things are supposed to happen to you for a reason. It strengthens your mind, thickens your skin, and really, it's a growing lesson. It is. Because you can be mad at the world, but really, these are learning curves for you. And that's just how I look at it. That's how I like to look at it, because really, again, you can be mad at the world. Mm-hmm. And we all know those people. We all know people who just hate the world because they think the world is nothing but bad for them. And why live like that? Why live like that when... Really, I don't know. I've learned to love those imperfections and those bad those mishaps. Cause then you learn from it. Like I told you about my one coworker who I love that woman. Okay. First of all, but she said that during COVID or whatever, she had someone she knew told her to like pull out money from the bank, and somebody was watching her. It was a teenager was watching her and stole the money from her. And I was just like, oh my God, what is that luck? You know, like, what is that? Like, someone just had to be watching you out of all people that go to this bank or to this ATM. But now you know. Like, it now it teaches you these lessons versus making a mistake that could have really affected your whole entire life.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you made it out of that situation.
Yeah. I think oftentimes people don't realize, like, you have the power to change that.
Yes.
You just have to take the steps to start changing the way that you think about a situation or like the way that you receive a situation.
Mm-hmm. And I talked about this with you all the time, where shifting my mentality changed my life, and it really saved my life. Because again, I could have just been in that same state of like, why is my life so shitty, versus this is meant to happen to me, and the people and the situations that are in my life are for a reason. Even to a smaller magnitude, right? Like, I really wanted that one job, but I didn't get it. They sent me a rejection email. Some just ghosted me. Or it could be you were on your way to work and you got a flat on a smaller scale. But again, what are the words I'm trying to look for? On
things don't happen to you, they happen for you.
Yes. Yes. Because really, I just think sometimes I'm like, well, who could have handled this better? That's why it happened to me, is because I could handle it better. And it really does make you more happy when you look at life like that. Because, oh my gosh, I remembered the unlucky situation. Oh, hold on. Give me a second. Let me rewind. So this happened when I first, okay. Ooh, okay. I'm happy now. So you know this, queen, okay? I was getting ready for work. I had the kids getting ready. And here's a tumbling effect, right? Yeah. So I got up at a really decent hour. Okay. I got up at, I want to say 5, because I knew that I needed to get my kids ready. I wanted to have breakfast. I wanted to get them to breakfast, whatever. I get up early in the morning. I get ready. I get the kids ready. We're good. And then Zeke had to poop right before we leave. I was like, hurry up, get on the toilet. And then Emmy had to poop. So I had no choice. What can I do? Make hold of poop? So they do their business. And then afterwards, I'm running back into our room to get my phone. I go out of the room and I fell on my ankle. I fell on my fucking ankle. Like, literally, I was wearing these platform Vans. And I never wear platform shoes to work. And the one fucking day I wore these platform shoes, I remember I tripped on something on the floor. And the first thing that I heard, because it was silent, because the kids knew that I was upset because they had to take a poop right before we left. Bitch, my ankle hit the floor. And that was the first thing that hit the floor. And I remember hearing just like my bone and my skin like roll onto the wood floor. And luckily I caught myself and I fell right into the bathroom and onto the counter. And I am really good with pain. I am. I was yelling and screaming because it hurt so fucking bad. And I felt so bad for the kids that they had to hear me. But like,
it's oh not funny. God. It's not funny. I'm not laughing. I just.
Well, you just imagine me like yelling and crying.
I remember when you texted me and you were like, I just rolled my ankle. And I thought you were kidding. I genuinely thought you were joking. I'm like, yeah, okay.
You thought I was being dramatic.
Yeah.
You thought I was being dramatic. My shit was swollen as fuck. My shit was swollen.
No, it was so bad.
It does not stop there, bitch. My adrenaline was pumping because I was like, no, listen, this is my first month at my new job. I'm taking my ass to work. I don't give a fuck. So my adrenaline's pumping through my veins. I drop off the kids and then I'm on my way to work. Mind you, I sprained my right ankle. So I'm driving on that bitch. I am pushing gas, pressing the brake. I get to work. It was a Tuesday, and Tuesday is street sweeping in this city. that street was jam-packed. So I had to park so damn far. And then I had to walk my ass back to work, back to my job. And I was limping. I wasn't a G. I wasn't a gangster, bitch. I was just limping because I rolled my ankle. And then I'm like going into work. I'm just like, hey, to my boss. She's like, are you okay? I was like, honestly, I rolled my ankle. And she was like, do you still want to be here? And I was like, yes. And then she leaves to go pick. I know. She goes to leave to. And I'm in massive pain. Mind you, I was in so much pain. And I was just playing it off. But then I wasn't even elevating it out. And still now it struggles, which is obviously my fault. But, bitch, it took me a while to put my foot up on a chair because I didn't want to be dramatic, okay? And then I finally, like, worked up the courage to ask my neighbor, which I'm really close with now. I was like, Tita, do you have like two Tylenols? Like, one would be fine, just like a little bit to last me through my shift. She was like, oh yeah. So I took two extra strengths. No, I tapped out at 12:30 and I was like, I gotta clock out. And I remember she was like, I messaged my boss and I was just like, hey, can I leave? I'm actually in a lot of pain. And bitch, can you imagine like all of the blood and my weight just going down to my ankle? Like, that mm-hmm. shit was so bad. And then she was like,
it looked
yes,
like you broke
ahead.
It. Yeah. It you know, looked
I remember
broken.
Spraining my ankle. Spraining my ankle when I was a freshman in high school during a volleyball tournament. And it literally looked like that. Like, it was that swollen. And she was like, well, can you? And she was, mind you, she's messaging me. Okay. She was like, are you sure you can walk to your car? Because she knew how far. Parked. I was like, girl, who's gonna take me to my car? Our CEO?
I would have been like, are you sure you can drive home? mean,
literally, but I know someone in the office would have totally offered to like take me to my car. But bitch, like, just the fact, you know, it was just, I had good intentions of waking up so early in the morning and I woke up prepared. I got my outfit out, I got the kids' outfits out, and I packed their backpacks, their lunch, and snacks and whatever, and then right before I left to work. And my biggest thing is I don't want to be late to work, really, like, ever. But with that now, I know to really take my time and not rush, because I feel like when you rush, really nothing good comes out of being rushed, honestly. So now I took it as a learning lesson. I look at those shoes and I really hold an amount of resentment towards those shoes, so I don't wear them anymore. And
platform shoes, just not the move.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Unless you're our friend Arlene, where she needs some height to the bitch. She needs some height, you know?
She needs to wear platform shoes so that there's some truth when she says that she's 6 feet tall. She's like 5'4".
No, she's 5'1". She's 5'1".
I'll give her
6 foot tall.
I'll give her the 5'4". She's like 5'4".
Okay. No, I'm 5'4", bitch. And she is shorter than me. She's like 2-3 inches shorter than me. So you know what? Her height, she's 5'1". We know a bad bitch who's 5'1", but her ego is 6 foot. Her
right.
ego is 6 foot.
We love her anyway, yeah. though. But those we platforms, man, even like, you know those Uggs that I have, the ones that they look, oh, they yes. have like the Croc strap on them. Mm-hmm. Those ones are, they're not even like a real platform, but they're like a little bit more raised off the ground than like a normal shoe. They're like not a full-on platform, but they're yeah. raised off the ground. That happened to me getting off the escalator at the mall. And then I was like, oh, gotta play it off now. It was so
That's
crowded that day.
Fuck.
Yeah, no, literally. But I'm like, oh, thank God it didn't like get caught in the escalator, you yeah. know, like those horror stories.
Someone help me,
like,
help me.
Right?
That would have been, ooh, shit.
Could you imagine? But yeah, platform shoes, it definitely takes skill to wear
it
them.
Unless you have ankle support on that shoe.
Yeah.
Don't wear it.
Yeah.
Don't wear it, because Vans, like, your ankles are bare. Your ankles are yeah. bare. No, don't do
or
it.
Or wear them and then just sit there and look pretty.
Yeah, if you know you're
so
not
you don't
be
risk
walking.
Getting injured.
You don't risk the fall.
Yeah.
That shit hurted, bitch. It really did. But that yeah. those are the were the only two that I could think of, honestly.
Or no, when you tripped and fell when we were building your reformer. And then Emmy was like,
Emmy is my karma.
Emmy was like, are you okay?
No, she laughed. That little girl was like, are you okay? The fakest shit on that little girl. I was like, don't even. I looked at her. I was like, I didn't even answer her. I just ignored her. I was like, I was so pissed because the reformer was stressing me out.
It was so funny. And then on top of that,
this little girl goes, are you okay? Yeah, little girl. Let me use clean language here. Yeah, little girl. That's my daughter, guys. She's literally like,
She's funny.
Oh, also, can I on a side note, I want to share another thing, which you would be really proud of me. Mm-hmm. I made a mom friend. I did. I made a mom friend today. So her daughter, and she is so sweet. Her daughter has such a sweet personality, and she's so talkative. I love kids like that. And they always play with Zeke. She always plays with Zeke and Emmy. And she always asks, like, can you get my mom's phone number? Like, I really want to hang out with Zeke and Emmy. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe one day. But for a while, I've missed her mom. Like, either I get the kids first or she gets her first. And so we don't see each other. But today at open house, I finally worked up the courage and I was like, oh, are you going to go to this field trip? Because I am going to be chaperoning. And she's like, no, I'm not. I was like, oh, okay. Well, hopefully I can watch, you know, your daughter. So it can be us three, whatever, whatever. And we exchanged phone numbers and we're talking about Knott's Berry Farm. And she is around my age. So it feels a little nicer, you know, because it's really hard for me to socialize at school, especially in the area that I live in. Like, everyone had kids at an appropriate age. So it's not, you know, it's a little bit harder to make mom friends. And I don't really look to do that. But she was a vibe. She was a whole vibe. She was nice. She was funny. And I love her daughter. So, yeah.
I want to introduce you to this girl that I work with. She's your age. She's the same age as you. And she has two sons.
Oh.
Yeah, and one is Zeke's age, and the other one, I don't know if he's Emmy's age or a little bit older than Emmy. But they're, like, around the same age. But she's
way more relatable. She has
two boys. Yeah. But I feel like you guys would, like, get along.
You know, is she from one of your jobs, or?
Yeah, I'm a coworker.
Oh. What's your job? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she works in a different department, but we worked together when I was floating.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. And, like, I cut in randomly with that fucking story because I finally remembered it, bitch. Here are some steps that we do when we get our, trying to get ourselves out of a funk.
So, how to recover from your funk or from all these unlucky situations that you are experiencing, this big old domino effect.
Yes. If you feel like, you know, the cup is overflowing, how to recover from it. I will say what does help me. This is not in a way to, like, shit on other people what they're going through, but somebody always has either, one, gone through this, or two, has had it worse. You know, like, getting into, like, if you have a flat tire getting into work, someone got into a massive accident, like, kind of being grateful for the situation and finding the positive side of it, even though it was really shitty. Now you know better, which I kind of feel like I got into. But, you know, that's one way to look at it, is really there's worse that happens. It's just a little bump in the road. Like, you're telling me that if you just, you know, if you burnt your toes to work and now you're late to work, well, guess what? You're still at work, bitch. Like, you're still working.
Yeah.
You're still working.
And today is a new day.
Oh, I was like, you're trying to think.
It's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. Mm-hmm. Don't carry it into the next day. You can have a bad day, and it's okay to have a bad day. You can, you know, have all these things happen to you in a day and feel a little bit down about it. That's okay. Everyone has days like that. Mm-hmm. But the next day, it's a new day. The new day the benefit of the doubt and go into it just with an open mind.
That makes, and I do that every day now, really, because with all the bullshit that sometimes happens to me at work and then outside of work before it, like right before I clock in, the next day I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, thank God that day was over. Thank God it's over. Like, I can start my, even though it is like maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday, middle of the week, it's not a Monday where you feel like you have a fresh start, but really it feels like a reset. It feels better when you wake up and you can kind of say, you know what, I put that behind me. And it technically really is behind you because it was the day before. To reset mentally is really how you do it. And I'm not saying you need to wait a whole entire day for it to go by. You can even do it within the hour. Like, okay, that happened. What can we do? Like, what's next? I feel like that having that kind of mentality is, how am I going to move forward? How am I going to fix a situation? Like, who do I call? Okay, my car isn't starting. Who do I call? Like, don't worry about the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Like, oh, if I had just left work, if I left home early, I could have prevented this amount of time from being taken away from being at work. No one can ever prevent unlucky mishaps. Nothing can prevent something you didn't even see coming. It's just the matter of how you handle the situation and what you do from it, and how you, what's next? What's the next move? Mm-hmm. And that is the only way and mentality that can kind of get you through life, bitch. Cause I mean, even with me, like, in the kids, you know what I mean? Like, okay, it's a one man team. How am I what's my next move? My mom used to tell me that all the time. You can't think about the past. You just gotta think, what's next? How am I gonna, what's my next move? That's it, period.
Dwelling on it won't change it.
It doesn't get you anywhere, mm-hmm, except for further into your emotions, which really,
and you will be stuck there forever.
Yeah. Literally, are you gonna fix your car? Are you gonna get to work on time? Are you gonna fly to work with all your emotions? No. You just gotta deal with it in the moment. Let that be that. And then move on. What are you gonna do next? That's, I feel like, the only really way that can pull you out of an unlucky situation is to just say, tell yourself, what's the next move? How am I gonna fix it? You have to be a problem solver, not a problem dweller. That's really just the only way that you can get yourself through some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Feel me, queen?
Yeah, my mom always says that too. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anywhere.
When we're young, we're like, yeah, shut up. Yeah. Shut up. I don't want to hear that. I want to talk about how upset it made me.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my feelings.
Yeah.
But really, I'm like, how? Really? Like, you're wasting time. Like, go make a call and go fix it. Or, you know, what's my next move? I'm feeling upset. Let me go journal. Yeah. I'm feeling upset. Let me go take a walk. Let me get some vitamin D.
Yeah. You can talk about it. You can vent about it. You mm-hmm. can let it out. But don't sit there for days on end and think about the same situation over and over and over again and how it just is hurting your life in XYZ way. That's mm-hmm. when it gets to the point where it's like,
concerning.
You are creating this domino effect of negative yeah. things happening to you.
Totally.
What's the word? You're like constantly thinking that all these bad things are happening to you. I'm trying to think of how to word that. You know what I mean?
Like pitying yourself?
Yeah. That's a little harsh though, huh?
No, I don't. I feel like, you know what? Pity is a very tough word to use, but what's another word for it? You know?
Yeah. Or just feeling down, feeling bad about yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to yourself and the things that you go through, it's easier to have the victim mindset with it.
Yes, totally.
Especially when there are things that are completely uncalled for, like your bathroom flooding, mm-hmm. me running over a wrench. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why couldn't it happen to the car behind me? You know? Yeah. Why couldn't I be the car that missed it? Mm-hmm. 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 But you can't think like that.
No, that gets you nowhere. The victimizing, it's debilitating. I feel like I mentioned that before. It's never going to help you. And really, it just makes your life worse. And it really, if you told it to another person, don't make your life look worse than what it actually is. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just because of all these, mm-hmm. I hate those bitches that always, like, we know a certain bitch that always makes their life look so much more negative, or, oh, I've gone through it so much worse. Like, let's not do that. Let's not victimize ourselves and let's be grateful for what is going on in our life and how, and our problem solving skills. I feel like as when we get out of our young adult phase and we get into our later 20s, into our 30s, problem solving is much more easier, and it's way more, it takes a lot of maturing to do. It really does. And it's okay to victimize yourself and feel like the victim, because things, like you said, are uncalled for. But at the end of the day, how are you going to solve that problem? Because you're never going to solve it if you are just still so sad about it. So okay. I feel like problem solving skills are really what you need to work on, because that's the only way that you can pull yourself out of a situation. And then guess what? You got yourself out of that one. Then you learn from it, and you learn to deal with other problems much easier. And then guess what? That little mishap of burning your breakfast before leaving from work is light work. Because guess what, bitch? You just recovered from a hole in your tire from a standing wrench. Really, bitch. I feel like the wrench must have been standing or something. Like, what?
I have it. I saved it. I have it here somewhere. Yeah, I'm going to find it. And I'm going to show you one day how big it was. It was crazy. No. I saved it. I kept it in my glove box after I got my tire replaced in the Scion. I kept it in my Scion's glove box and drove around with it every day as, like, my reminder of what that day was like. Yeah, I just still can't. My mom was so, I've never seen her so shocked. She was so flabbergasted looking at the rim tracks going down our driveway. I've never seen her so shocked before in my life.
You can also say, even though it was a shitty situation, you were able to go home and be in your bed safe and sound.
Yeah.
After a night out, because some people can't and don't.
No, that one wasn't after a night out. That was... after we broke up.
Oh, shit. Ain't that a thing? Ain't that something? Oh, my God. After we're, after a breakup, my tire wants to go out. Oy vey, queen.
Maybe that was the sign that, like, that was the catalyst in my life. The big change.
Yes. Look at that and see. Now look at where you are. You learn from it. You have grown from that person, and you are where you are now because that sign of a flat tire, of that flat tire, of that wrench.
That's another thing, too. It's like the things that you go through, they don't necessarily define you. All these bad situations, they don't necessarily define you, but they do help build you into the person that you're meant to be. You know, we definitely would not be in the place where we are now, or the types of people that we are now, had we not gone through a lot of those things. So you can sit back and wish that, I wish this didn't happen. I wish I didn't have to go through that. I wish it turned out differently. But at the end of the day, then you would be a different person. And do you like who you are today? Are you proud of who you are today? I feel like I am. I think you are. You should be. You know? Right? And so it's like sometimes things are so tricky to get through, and in the moment they make you so upset. But at the end of the day, those are things that are going to help you become who you want to be, who you're meant to be, the type of person that, you know, you dreamed of becoming.
Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead with your fine self. That was good. That was good. Okay. All right. Well, that was our unlucky situations, how we recovered from it, and ways and steps on how, and advice on how you can overcome those small little mishaps in your life. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. And if you just need those reminders, I hope this episode served you. And I hope... That's always my biggest thing, Queen, is the takeaway of episodes, is that I hope you took away something from this episode. And because really this is everyday things. This kind of thing happens every day. And I hope that you found meaning and advice and how to solve these problems.
Yes. And we are now on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you, Queen. Thank you to Kaylin, who solved it, because that was not easy. This whole
it's complicated. I don't know why they made it so simple for Spotify. I don't know why they made it so complicated for Apple.
Had your little piece there. Don't play with her. But yes, that is the end of episode one of, or episode two of Lucky Girl Era in our sixth mm-hmm. episode. Can you believe it's already, I thought about this the other day, 6 weeks.
Well, I know.
Technically, because we dropped another episode on the Friday last week, right?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
You know, look at us. Look at us.
Time is and it's moving. Gone by Time's pretty fast.
It has. And really, like, this today is the first week of March gone under our belt. And now we only have 3 more weeks. I don't know. And tomorrow's already Friday.
And then spring, April.
And then summer.
And then May, Bridgerton. Rip. And then summer.
And then we need to have a Bridgerton party for the release, for the premiere.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, that's the end of the episode. Thank you for anyone listening through. We love you guys. And thank you to all of our friends and family for the support. We love you guys so much.